This morning we join the Church Universal in celebrating the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity. And this is such an important solemnity for us because I think it speaks volumes about where we are going as a culture and as a society vis-a-vis this mystery, which is really the most fundamental, the primary mystery of Christianity. Even before you talk about Christ, even if you talk about the Father by Himself or the Holy Spirit, the first thing that we have to tackle, in fact, it's really the first thing we really say in the Creed, it's an acknowledgement of the Trinity. I mean, even when we pray, do we not begin with the sign of the cross? I mean, a sure indication that we're acknowledging something here that is very, very novel. And there's no world religion that claims that God is three persons. And you know, as Jesus was going about his preaching ministry in the Holy Land 2,000 years ago, and the Jews had a hard time grasping this idea, you know, at once we sort of marvel at their lack of faith, but on the other hand, in a certain sense, we shouldn't really be so hard on them. After all, no one had heard of this before, and that not only was Jesus explaining that he was the Son of God, which was complete blasphemy for the Jews, but then Jesus goes even further and says, no, but it gets even better. There's actually a Holy Spirit too. Right? So it was already mysterious for the Jews to hear that this person who looked like a man to them was in fact God's Son. Moreover, there was someone unseen, the Advocate, the Counselor, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit who was coming after he left. So this is an entirely novel idea, and it's very interesting because I think a lot of people misunderstand the Trinity and how important knowing about the Trinity is. And this is what we're saying about the Trinity. We are not saying that God has three personalities. All right? We're not saying that God is just three faces, sort of three modes of God. Some of you are, I think, members of Yahoo Mail. Okay, have you seen this? One of the things that Yahoo Mail tries to get you to sign up for is they say, post your avatar on Yahoo Mail. Now what an avatar is, it's Hinduism. That's from Hinduism. And that is a face of God. Right, so instead, they call it an avatar. What really it is that, you know, you can actually take your own picture and post it right next to your name when you sign your signature. Right? Christianity is totally different. I'm not talking about three faces of God. We're talking about three distinct persons, all sharing the same nature, yet are totally distinct, and at the same time, inseparable. Now, this is difficult for us to perceive because, for example, if I told my mother, right, that I was three persons in me, she would say, well, that's a very, very strong case, probably, of schizophrenia. Okay? And we don't talk in these terms. You know, I don't say, you know, the Father DiMartino, you know, there's me, and then there's sort of middle me, and then there's other me. Okay? Because he wouldn't know who he was dealing with every day. Right? So we're talking about here three distinct persons. Now, in history, we've had some great, great analogies, but every analogy falls short. And there are some great analogies to try to explain this. Remember, those of you perhaps who are Irish or of Irish descent, even if you're not, I know about this. St. Patrick of Ireland. He goes to Ireland, the island, and he tries to explain to the pagans there about the Trinity. So what does he use? A shamrock, remember? He uses the shamrock, three different flowers within the same flower. And this is what he says. He says, the shamrock is three different sections, but they form one shamrock. Each section is distinct. Each section shares the nature of what we could call shamrockness, what it is to be a shamrock, as the other sections within the flower. Yet, the analogy falls short, because if you divide the shamrock into three parts, apart from each other, you no longer have a shamrock. You just have a dying flower. Or for those of you who are perhaps business-minded, I like this example. We can have three partners in a business. Each person in the business, we'll say, has the equal capacity to do the functions that a partner could do. They can buy, they can sell, they can hire, They can fire. Right? They can do all of these things that each of the other members can do. Yes, like the Trinity. Yet the analogy falls short as well, because the partners existed before the partnership ever was formed. And whereas the three persons of the Trinity could never be apart from each other, business partners certainly can. They might be together in a joint venture, but at home, in the evening they might go home to their families or to whatever they do after work. And so the Trinity always acts together, even when we worship our Lord in the Eucharist. How amazing is this? You know, we concentrate on the Son, do we not? But you can't separate the Son from the Father. And you can't separate either of them from the Holy Spirit. So in essence, what we're doing when we're adoring Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament is, implicitly, we're also adoring the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit all simultaneously. This is a unique, unique mystery. And you know, Jesus really wanted to bring this message home to his hearers. In fact, he taught his hearers to call God our Father. The word is Abba. Now I know a lot of times when people try to translate this as sort of like a child calling their father Daddy. But it's even more profound than that. That doesn't really scratch the surface. Jesus is saying here there's a profound union between the children and the Father. All of us and the Father. So much so that when all of us are baptized, there is a unique dynamic at work here. What is happening is that the Holy Spirit, the Son, and the Father are making their indwelling in our souls. They're in there. So when I meet someone who says, Father, you know, I don't practice the faith. In fact, I don't have any more faith. And I say, well, are you baptized? Oh, yes, yes, I'm baptized and raised Catholic. I said, oh, no, no, it's in there. Oh, no, no, Father, I'm not living my faith. I don't even know what I believe. Oh, that's okay. I mean, don't worry. It's not just on you. God made the first move. It's in your soul. It's in there. Yes, it might be rusty. Yes, it might need some dusting off. Yes, it might need some rehabilitation and some reformation. But don't worry. The Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son, the Trinity, they've made their indwelling within you. And for that reason, you can never distance yourself from God as much as you might try. Now ultimately, if someone dies as an enemy of God, totally rejecting the Trinitarian life within them, we all know their consequences for that decision. But as one progresses through life and one writes themselves off as being too far from God, or somehow just so distant from Him that it would be impossible for him ever to come back to Him, that's not true. And I know it is, you know, we all have friends and perhaps family members that maybe in a certain sense, because of their hardness of heart, we have given up on. But anytime we're talking to someone who perhaps is a little bit distant from God, we should always be reminded of the Trinity's indwelling in their souls, which should compel us to never give up on them. Because God, as difficult as it may be for us to perceive, is still present in their souls. And so even when someone commits a mortal sin, yes, they've cut themselves off from God, but it hasn't removed the fact that they're baptized. They're still His children. And it's so important, too, that we think about even God the Father on this day, too, getting as close as we are to Father's Day. You know, Jesus went through great pains to reveal God to us, His Father. And there's an economy at work here. It's a dynamic at work. It's very important. You know, many places I've gone to, unfortunately, a lot of people try to replace all of the masculine language, father and son, with gender-neutral language. Right? So they'll begin in the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sanctifier. Right? So they take away anything that's masculine because this could be offensive to women. But see, this is false. This is false thinking. But you see, there's a wonderful dynamic at work here. God is our Father. Jesus is His Son. Our Lord, our Savior, and also our brother. And then Mary is our mother. The church that we belong to, the Catholic Church, is an imitation of Mary as Mother. We call the Holy Mother Church at times. But it's very important to remember that sometimes you see bumper stickers out there. I see them a lot. It says, there's a planet Earth on the bumper sticker. And it says, love your mother. And I almost drive off the road every time I see it. Right? The Earth is not our mother. We shouldn't call her Mother Nature. Mary is our mother. The Church, which is a type of Mary, is our mother. Why? Planets can't be persons. Only mothers can be persons. So can fathers and children. But you see, we have now gotten to this sort of naturalist ethic where we believe things generate us. Right? Persons generate us. A mother, a father, and the Trinity provides the soul. Not the earth. But people say these things sort of out of hand without really thinking, and we sometimes fall into this idea that somehow we're just products of the earth. Two last things to say then about the Trinity on this Trinity Sunday. The first is, I grew up hearing many, many homilies as a child, and even into young adulthood, where the priest was constantly saying the same thing, I think. And he was saying something to the effect of, God loves you. Okay. Now, I'm good with that, and that's great, and that's true. Okay, I mean, I hope we all believe that. And I don't really preach a lot about this, because I hope you know that. Alright, so, but in case you didn't know, God does love you. And he loves you where you are, true, but he loves you too much to let you stay there. He wants to move you closer into his inner life. Now, we have to say this in very, very distinct terms. God is love. That's straight from St. Paul. Right? Straight from St. John. God is love. Now that's important. Because it's not as if love is an attribute or a characteristic of God. That's true of us. None of us are love incarnate. Okay? But we have the capacity to love, which means it's a part of us by extension. But in our very, very souls, we're not love. But God is. And God loves us more than you can ever imagine. So much so that if you think about all of creation, this is an overflowing of the love of the Trinity. The Trinity loves each other so much within themselves that it overflows into the story of creation. We exist because God loves himself so much. Not in an inordinate way, not in a sort of selfish way, but the three persons are in such communion with each other that it overflows into our own very existence. So, it is true. God is love. Not as a characteristic. He is love made flesh. And think about what we call the Blessed Sacrament. Right? The Sacrament of Charity. Of love. Jesus makes himself vulnerable so that we may love him. Even though he knows we don't always love him, he still makes himself vulnerable. Someone might receive Holy Communion in a state of mortal sin. The priest doesn't know that, but the penitent does, and Jesus knows. I don't conduct interviews here when people come forward for communion. You know, you have shifty eyes. I'm not really sure you're, you know, should you receive anything. No. Okay? You present yourself for Holy Communion. Looks like you know what you're doing. Fine. Okay? Nevertheless, God makes himself vulnerable in his loving us. And that takes us finally to my final point this morning about what this communion of persons is all about. In Latin, we call the Trinity Communio Personarum. Communio Personarum. A community of persons. How the Trinity acts within itself is precisely what we are intended to act, how we're intended to act in this life. persons in communion with one another. Not just with people that we like or people whom we love, but to be person to person in communion with each other. There is a tremendous thing going on in our culture. It's actually been going on for a number of years now. It's nothing recent. But I think it points to how little by little we are seeing generations beginning to lose the whole notion of communion of persons. I'll give you a couple examples. And let's take the paradigm of doing errands on Saturday morning. Okay? Now, I don't do errands on Saturday morning because I'm here. Okay? Now, I might be one of your first stops before you go do errands on Saturday morning. You come to Saturday morning Mass and confession, but I don't do errands because that six cents crazy, okay? I mean, you know that, all right? I'm off on Tuesdays, that's when I do errands. All right. Now, no one is on staff at Marketplace on 610. All right, now, so think about you doing your errands on Saturday morning. Here's how it goes. If you don't come to church or confession. So you start out of the house, and you need gas. So, you go to the gas station, and you pay at the pump by credit card. Right? Now, let's keep a score here. How many people have you talked to so far?
Ding!
Zero. Okay? Then, you need money for going out tonight. So, you go to the ATM. Withdraw money from the ATM. How many people have you spoken to?
Ding!
Zero. Okay? Then, you go to Shoppers. And you do self-checkout. How many persons have you talked to?
Maybe one half,
because it usually doesn't work. And the person, you know, at the end of the counter, there's this one person who watches them all, okay? She might say, you know, here's your receipt. That's it. And you might say, thank you. Then, you might go to any retail outlet. Have you noticed today how poor customer service is? Have you noticed that? People do not even say hello to you when you walk in the store. It might be the manager, but none of the people paid $7.95 an hour could care less. You know, my sister in high school once worked for the Gap. She told me on the first day of training at the Gap, you've lost the customer if you haven't greeted them in the first 5 seconds they've set foot in the store. Not, you know, and I know some people can be overbearing, you know, can I sell you something like a used car salesman, okay? And I'm talking about that. Just a simple good morning or hello, welcome to the Gap. If there's anything I can help you find, let me know. I notice all over the area, children riding in cars with their parents, listening to their iPod, instead of talking to their parents. I've seen children at social events in our school and in our parish center, you know, these after church events. Everyone around them is talking. They're on their iPod. Now, none of these things that I mentioned, these technologies we have, are in and of themselves bad. I'm not even discouraging you from using them, but do you see, little by little, how these things, if we're not careful, slowly kind of drive us apart from each other? What do people do these days? They'll leave me a voicemail rather than chance talking to me. Right? Email does the same thing. Texting does the same thing. There's this fright we have of talking to one another. And this is something I think that saddens God. Because that's not how he is within himself. They're in constant communication. Recently I dealt with a salesperson who doesn't use email. Interesting. Why? She'll talk to you. And she's good. Boy, she really, I'm not surprised she's made all these president clubs at her office. She's incredible. She deals with people. But you see, little by little, even those of us who are outgoing like myself, there's always that little escape I can use not to have to talk to people. And that doesn't work really well when you're a priest, believe you me. That does not make you an effective priest when you're avoiding people. So my friends, as we contemplate the Trinity, ask yourselves, in my marriage, in my relationship with my parents, in my school, in my office, am I a person who is imitating God, trying to be in his image and likeness? I mean, I already am, but am I living that out? By seeking people out, wanting to talk to them. Do I just generally avoid people and even making eye contact for fear that we might have a conversation? It happens, doesn't it? We've all fallen prey to that. But the Trinity is that wonderful reminder that that's not how we were made. We were made for each other. We were made to be in community. And let us pray that we seek each other out, even at times if it's against our own sense of what will make us comfortable. But really to seek each other out, because it is in doing so that we return our love to God, who loves himself from within, so much so that he has created and loves all of us. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us to have recourse to thee.